okay, we see what the media has been doing and saying for years and years. We see what the governments have been doing and saying for years and years. And both of them have an extensive track record of lying to us, lying us into many wars. And these lies are very costly, both to our freedoms and to human life. Look at how many people have died in these wars that were based on lies. Just for example, no doubt, we've all heard the saying, never let a good crisis go to waste. And I think that at bare minimum, this is exactly kind of what we are seeing, because during a crisis, it allows certain organizations and governments and others to get away with things and implement things that they would normally not be able to get away with or implement. This may have been a sort of precursor, because all of these plans are not developed overnight. They're not launched overnight. They're done incrementally over generations, little bit by little bit, because people do not like change. So they have to be encouraged or coerced or kind of gently pushed into that change.
With the COVID-19 virus crisis and the number of casualties with the flu, if you have not been looking at C60 as a means to significantly improve your immunities by now, you should be. Here's why. First, a strong and healthy immune system is your body's first defense. And for those with a strong immune system, your body will adequately fight viruses without medical intervention. Second, C60 is safe as long as you are taking high quality C60 with no added fillers or solvents. Third, C60 is the best means of removing free radicals from your body that exists. It's at least 200 times better at this function than vitamin C and any other antioxidant. Fourth, as Dr. Chuli stated on a previous show, COVID-19 creates massive amounts of free radicals, which is causing organ failure for those with weaker immune systems. So now it becomes clear you need the best free radical fighter that exists, and that is C60 with black seed oil and curcumin. Why black seed oil and curcumin? Because these two ingredients are the absolute best at supporting C60 to fight viruses and to improve your immune system. Go to sarahwestall.com/shop and learn more about why this formula is so powerful for building your immunities. And it's now available in gel capsules and by diffuser for more serious needs. Be sure to read the research and, of course, use the current coupons to save money when you buy. Patrons also receive a 10% discount. You can find that code at patreon.com/sarahwestall. Remember, keeping you and your family safe is the most important thing you can do. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This episode, I have Spiro Skouras coming to the show. He is just excellent. He's a very professional, independent journalist that has been doing just great work. He is a very broad thinker and is really analyzing the global financial system, the players at the highest level, and I'm really impressed with the work he's doing, and I wanted to bring him on and ask him some questions of what he's seeing with the global financial system and blockchain and what they have planned, how this whole coronavirus fits into that picture. We have a really good conversation about these topics, and it's very timely. You know, how are they using the coronavirus as, you know, you don't want to waste a good crisis, and it just is what it is. And so we talk about that. So what's really going on right now? And I believe this virus is very serious. I mean, we need to take it seriously. You need to prepare. You need to protect yourself. People I interview, people have varying thoughts about what, you know, how bad it's really going to get. But it doesn't matter if you don't think it's going to get bad. It's better to prepare for the worst and then be safe rather than sorry. And again, I am working on providing you with as much good information on preventative. And then if you happen to be in a situation where you have the COVID-19, giving you some options with the sound frequency and some of the alternatives that are seeming to work pretty well. I have had an interview or an email from James Marshall, who's creating the sound file based on Sherry Edwards' frequency, that said that somebody used a LaSalle who had COVID-19 and they got better in a couple days. And so I'm really happy that people are starting to use these frequencies. Now, that being said, no one is claiming that this is a cure. Maybe their own immunities did it. Maybe, I mean, we can't do that, and nobody wants to. We want to be able to keep this as an option, but please stay responsible for yourself. If you feel that you're getting really sick, you need to go and do what the CDC is saying and what others are saying, because, you know, what the authorities are saying, because we do not want this option taken away from people as an alternative, independent option. And if you're not responsible for yourself, let's say you didn't do it right. Let's say the frequencies didn't work. Maybe, let's say your body doesn't react to it properly and you aren't getting better. Make sure that you do what's responsible for yourself and go to a medical facility. Make sure you get tested. Do those things that they're telling you to do, because we aren't medical doctors. But again, I'm having these different things from the best people I can find, from experts who are out there who are medical doctors from a prevention standpoint and the frequencies. So look for that on my website and look for those shows. Let's get into this. And so look for that on my website at sarahwestall.com/sarahwestall. And let's get into this really great interview with Spiro Skouras. Spiro, thank you so much for coming to the program.
Hi, Sarah. It's great to be here. Thank you so much for the invite.
Yeah, well, I've been watching your work for a while, and you are so professional, and you do such a great job. And there isn't very many people out there talking in a professional way about what's going on with the global financial system. And I saw some of your recent reports, and I just thought, you know, I really need to get them on to talk about this. And so I'm so glad that you're here. And I want to talk about, you know, get this out of the way starting. Do you believe that there is a lot going on with the, now that the coronavirus is going on, is it a big opportunity for them or whoever they are, and we'll talk about who they are, to implement policy changes and to create a big diversion?
Well, it's a great question, Sarah, and it's something that we need to look at. And with my reports, I try not to inject my own personal opinions, because I have them and they're they exist just like everyone else's. I try to just kind of we see what the media has been doing and saying for years and years. We see what the governments have been doing and saying for years and years. And both of them have an extensive track record of lying to us, lying us into many wars. And these lies are very costly, both to our freedoms and to human life. Look at how many people have died in these wars that were based on lies, just for example. So based on that history and that information, I try to look at alternative possibilities, basically. When we see events taking place and when we see the media pushing an agenda or pushing and hyping a situation, typically I always, just by default at this point, tend to believe the opposite of what they say. Now, so I try to research what else is going on, who stands to benefit, what are other possible scenarios? And I take that information and I try to connect the dots and present that information in my reports and let the viewer themselves decide. Now, sometimes I can't help it and I do have to interject what my own personal viewpoints or hypotheses or certain scenarios could be. And I try to make that clear in my reports and separate the two. No doubt, we've all heard the saying, never let a good crisis go to waste. And I think that at bare minimum, this is exactly kind of what we are seeing, because during a crisis, it allows certain organizations and governments and others to get away with things and implement things that they would normally not be able to get away with or implement.
And I think you're right, because I think this is a real crisis too. Every scientist I talk to, I mean, I don't know if you think it's a real crisis, but sure seems to be. And, I've talked to people in Wuhan. I've talked to scientists from all over. It seems like this has the markings of a real serious crisis, but it sure is convenient. And it's really disturbing, because I was covering a lot of what was going on with the global financial system, as you do, and what their plans are. And so I see that too. The crisis is a perfect opportunity to implement a lot of things. I would like to use this crisis to be able to implement or to be able to wake people up to some alternative medicine and to some things that really could help besides just washing your hands and isolating yourself. But let's talk about what you think is going on with the global financial system. What kinds of things can they use this crisis for?
Well, it's no secret to those who've been paying attention for some time now that the current monetary and financial system has been, it's basically has been rigged. The central bankers have taken over the monetary systems of virtually every country globally about 100 years ago, at least, you know, a long time ago, generations ago, let's just put it that way. And they slowly have basically, they control everything, basically. They're the ones issuing the money. They're the ones printing the money out of thin air. And they have taken, like, for example, here in the U.S., the dollar off of the gold standard and placed it and pegged it to the price of oil. Now, all these things over the course of time have been done incrementally and have created a debt-based system of slavery, essentially. And they, through my research, what I have seen is that this system was never meant to be, never designed to last forever. There's certain cycles, and that this system would eventually be replaced with a new system. Now, through research, again, I have come across, and a lot of other people have come across, and we've all heard about, at least at some point, about the cashless society. And this has always been kind of deemed and dismissed as being a conspiracy theory, and just dismissed. So we have seen, and through the research, that in fact, the central banks, while also trying to demonize cryptocurrency in general, saying that only criminals use cryptocurrency, well, it turns out that maybe the central banks and the governments are right, because the central banks and governments are getting ready to roll out their own cryptocurrencies.
Exactly. They're right.
And they're calling these central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs. Now, these CBDCs, this whole process basically has taken many years, almost a decade, to basically rebuild the entire financial system globally. And this is what they've been working on behind the scenes. And they're getting to the point now to where they're about ready to roll it out. And we can tell this, and we know this, because now they are openly talking about this. We have the International Monetary Fund openly talking about digital currencies, their own digital currencies. Other major central banks, like the Bank for International Settlements, the Bank of England, even now the Federal Reserve, China, it's been in the news, they're getting ready to release their own central bank digital currency. And basically, in a nutshell, this will, from what I see based on my research, it will be the ultimate system of control. This will be the new system in what I've called the cherry on top of the international surveillance state, because they'll be able to monitor, see, track, trace everything that you do. And it just, I know it sounds crazy, but I just tweeted out even today a Bank for International Settlement document where the head of the central bank from Canada is talking about this. It is even referencing cashless societies. I mean, this is actually taking place. And this current system right now has been so upside down. The Federal Reserve and other major central banks are just printing money and out of thin air on a daily basis, hundreds of billions of dollars, trillions of dollars, and pumping it into this system that is so upside down, basically to prevent it from collapsing. And what I see that the plan is and the agenda is that this system is going to crash. It's going to collapse, and they want it to, but they're going to manage and steer the collapse and have the people freak out through their media sources who are pocketed. The media is going to hype it. Everyone's going to freak out. It's essentially the Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution. You have a solution that you want to get to, which is a digitalized financial system. You need a crisis in order to get the people to beg for that solution, which you engineered or created in the first place. And this, basically the central bankers and the governments do not want to take the blame or the responsibility for this upcoming current economic collapse, which we're already seeing starting to unfold right before our eyes. So in comes the perfectly, the well-timed coronavirus outbreak that is already being blamed for everything, and including, I believe, which will be blamed for the upcoming economic crisis.
Well, and isn't it convenient too that money will spread the virus?
Well, we've growing up, myself, and I'm sure many listening have heard that, money is dirty. You know, how many times have we heard that? So many percentage of $100 bills have cocaine residue and all this stuff. You know, money is dirty. We've been inherently taught this, or at least indoctrinated with this train of thought. And no doubt, yes, of course, money's dirty. It gets exchanged, passed around, everything like that. So this may have been a sort of precursor because all of these plans are not developed overnight. They're not launched overnight. They're done incrementally over generations, little bit by little bit, because people do not like change. So they have to be encouraged or coerced or kind of gently pushed into that change.
I would agree with you. I think there's... Now, where do you think the vaccines come into this? Do you believe that we could be in for a mass forced vaccination? Or do you think we have some means here to use their crisis against them? I'm assuming we know it's a bioweapon. So we could use this crisis to say, hey, we have some natural solutions. We don't need your darn virus or your darn vaccine. Or do you think that's going to be forced down our throats?
Well, I have been reading into this, and basically, when an emergency is declared, all the kind of rights that you think you have kind of go out the window, to a certain extent. So the state is going to act like they are the ones in control. They are the ones calling the shots, and it's you have to comply or you will be forced to comply. Now, and we see this kind of training of the police, as the police has been militarized throughout many states for many, many years. And it's very concerning. I have seen that the government, the federal government, and even some of these health agencies like the CDC and the NIH can, recommend like a mask, like a forced immunization program. I wouldn't rule it out. Now, I'm not trying to raise fear. I'm not trying to scare anyone. And, but at the same time, we have to have these discussions. We have to consider all options, all plausible options based on the scenario and the situation which we're seeing at hand that we are faced with. I mean, I was listening earlier to the broadcast. It was a live broadcast of the hearing taking place in Capitol Hill right now. With many health officials and members of the U.S. government. And they said, they kept repeating something that I found kind of stuck out in my head. And they kept saying, just 3 weeks ago, Italy, the people living in Italy were living a normal life. Everything was fine. And now the entire country is on lockdown. So we're already beginning to see some of the lockdowns take place here. There's a small town, an area in New York State where the governor has deployed or will be deploying the National Guard to quarantine a 1 mile radius within the main part of town, which is supposedly the heaviest hit area there. And they're going to be shutting down all businesses and schools within that quarantine zone for 2 weeks. So I'm not sure how prepared these people were, how much notice they had that are in this area. Supposedly, the National Guard is going to come in and provide all the essentials that they need. They're also going to be there to provide, make sure that the peace is kept. But at the same time, this is what the governments and the systems and the establishments do. They want you to become dependent on the system. And throughout this process of indoctrination and incrementalized orders, people slowly become dependent on this system. And then when a crisis happens, whether it's manufactured or not, they come in as the saviors with the solution. I believe the technology is sound. I get the fundamentals of it. I could see how immunization could work. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an expert. I'm not a virologist by any means. But I personally have to also, I'm skeptic by nature. And through the research that I've done and seen that personally, I don't trust the system, and I think my immune system is fine, and I would much rather seek alternative methods, and I believe that I have the absolute right to do that. And you know what? If they're watching right now, I will personally refuse any damn mandatory shots. Just me personally, speaking freely.
Well, exactly. I think that we should be looking at mass, you know, raising everybody's immunity and doing things naturally, because that'll solve illnesses across the board. You know, that's why I'm trying to educate. I have many doctors come on my show and experts talking about some natural solutions, you know, preventative. I have Master Healer out of China, you know, preventative. And then what can you do with sound frequency to deal with it if you do have it? What can you do with some, you know, really good antioxidants and anti-inflammatories to deal with it? Because we do have some solutions. And I've also had vaccine experts on talk about vaccines. And vaccines, unless you really have a good one and you do thorough testing, they can be worse than the actual disease that you're trying to solve. And we have good examples with SARS and Ebola where that was the case. So, and we don't trust these guys, right? So now we're in this situation. But getting back to the central bankers, the central bankers this year in, well, it was actually August of 2019 in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, they had their annual central banking meeting, and they openly talked about the urgency to roll out a digital global currency and the need to tie it to this zero carbon initiative for saving the planet. Do you believe their intentions are pure, or do you, based on your research, or do you think it's a convenient excuse to be able to privately control a global digital currency and rule the world forever? I don't want to say forever, but you know what I mean.
Well, that's certainly what it looks like their intentions are, of course. They don't want to remain in power just, you know, for a few years. They're looking to control and to consolidate that power and to expand it. And no doubt that myself personally, I had witnessed the central banks and the United Nations really making a hard push on the climate agenda, the supposed climate crisis, which we are all facing, that we were supposed to all die from how many years ago and how many different times already, and it hasn't happened yet. You know, they were openly been promoting big time now two things, the climate crisis and digitalizing the financial system, introducing a new financial sustainable development system for finance. And that word right there, sustainable development, sends off big red flags for me. Just looking through, you know, it's one of those words that sounds nice. Everyone's like, oh, sustainable. I mean, how could that be bad? But really, when we really do the research and look into the UN's agenda, their agenda 2030, the 2030 agenda, as well as agenda 21, basically, and the people who set it up, the people who support it, the people who champion it, and the institutions that are all behind it, in support of it, including the central banks and many other private institutions. And remember that these central banks are private institutions, and they are calling the shots, holding the money purse over the governments, which then hold it over the people. And we are basically at this point, you know, under their thumbs. I mean, we're, you know, so anyways, getting back to this whole agenda, yes, this will be, as I stated, from what I believe wholeheartedly, that this new financial digitalized system will be the cherry on top of the international surveillance state. It's going to be run on a blockchain system, not their own. The central banks are not going to use blockchain for their own cryptocurrencies in-house. That way they can continue to conceal what they're doing, because a blockchain system is peer-to-peer. Everyone can see it. It's transparent. But you and I, we will all be tracked on the blockchain. And basically, it all ties into these same groups of people, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Gates, and many others who essentially, when you get down to the heart of the issue, they are eugenicists. And they want population control, and they are working day and night to get this done. And I've noticed a big push right here into 2020, and we're just only 3 months into 2020. And this, their 2030 agenda, you know, as stated right there, is their goal is 10 years from now. And here we are 3 months into it. We've had major, this is already the craziest year You know, more has happened this year than has probably happened in many decades, you know, in the past. So this
I agree,
is.
yeah. It's just crazy. I always say the eugenicists, they if they really want to call the population, they need to be the first ones to go. If they are serious, then they're willing to give up themselves and their own family. And they never are. It's always, you know, it's for them. But let's talk about the Democratic Party, okay? Because it's really strange. We have this Joe Biden who is obviously has dementia. We had Bloomberg, which you need to talk about Bloomberg's role in this global financial scheme that they have. It seems like the global central bankers have taken over the Democratic Party in public. They might have control of both. I don't know, both parties. And there's a lot of, you know, people who talk about that. But they are publicly controlling the Democratic Party at this point. What do you think about that? At least that's my opinion. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that this current system has been in place for so long and it's been so corrupted. You know, people think that they are free here in the U.S. and in other places, and they're really not. I believe that freedom is, well, okay, it's been said before. I believe it was said by Mark Twain that if voting made a difference, they would make it illegal, basically. I think that we're seeing an illusion of choice. I don't think it matters, really, to be honest with you, if you vote left or right. We're still going to see the continuous wars. We're going to still continue to see these population reduction programs take place. We're going to see this financial digital system, this digitized financial system roll out, and it's going to proceed into a form of global governance at the ultimate levels. You know, I've never been a partisan, you know, I've never been left or right, Republican, Democrat. You know, if I see corruption and things that I feel are need to be called out, I call it out. I don't care who it is in office or anything like that. So, but no doubt, it's all about divide and conquer, basically, in my view. We're much more easily controlled if we're divided, if we're so busy arguing and fighting each other about, you know, Hillary or Trump or Biden or whoever, and we don't see how badly we're getting screwed by the entire systems that are sitting up above us. But no doubt, I've never seen this country more divided. Granted, I'm, you know, only in my mid-30s at this point, but even looking back on history, they have been priming the pump for civil unrest to get, you know, people at each other's throats. It's just more of that divide and conquer tactic, that strategy, and order out of chaos. I mean, we've seen it's really bizarre. People are so polarized. They're like willing to kill each other, you know, over who they're going to vote for. And like I said previously, I don't believe that it's their votes are, and I hate to say it, and I hope I'm wrong, but just this is just how I've always felt, are really making a difference. Now, Biden is part of this establishment. If we look at Trump, who did he surround himself with? He wanted to drain the swamp. Well, you know, many people aren't going to like this, but he surrounded himself with Wall Street. And, you know, he's beholden to the military-industrial complex as well, to a certain extent. So, but not to go off on the, you know, down a tangent here, but you mentioned Bloomberg. Bloomberg, I had said while he was running that he would have been the United Nations candidate. And I say that because he is so tied into this system, blatantly, obviously, in the open. Now, he currently is the head of the Financial Task Force for Climate. It's a tongue twister. It's the Financial Task Force for. It's a Task Force for Financial Climate Disclosures. And what it does is, what they are looking to do, and he's been working very closely with Mark Carney, who is the current bank head of the Bank of England, and he was the head of the Financial Stability Board. And the Financial Stability Board set up this task force. And right now, it operates on a voluntary basis. And what they are doing is they are strongly encouraging all of these companies globally, all these corporations, to submit their financial disclosures based on their climate footprint, their carbon footprint. And then this task force evaluates this information and makes their own determinations and goes from there. Now, basically, Mark Carney, who is this major central banker, is getting ready to leave his position there at the Bank of England, and he's taking on the position directly under the UN Secretary General at the United Nations to be the head of their climate and finance system there at the United Nations that they're just now launching, getting up and rolling. And Carney has stated publicly that very soon this voluntary disclosure, financial climate-related disclosures, is not going to be voluntary much longer. And basically, and he said that they are going to shut down any companies, any businesses that do not fall under with the requirements and the restrictions mandated by these global organizations. So this is a massive, massive power grab to control and game the system, the whole economy, all these companies. And guess who's on board? It's all of these major central banks. It's all of these Fortune 500 companies. It's the United Nations. They are implementing a system of global governance right now, right under our noses. And Michael Bloomberg is the chairman of this task force on climate-related financial disclosures. So it just blows my mind. You see him go up there, and a lot of it's a show, as some would say, smoke and mirrors to a lot to distract us, keep us all focused on Russia or, you know, this or, you know. And meanwhile, they're establishing a system of global control to enslave all of us is the way I really honestly see this going.
Well, Bloomberg got up on stage and said he funded and paid for a lot of the Democrats so that they could overtake the House. And so that makes it just so obvious that they are using that side of the equation. I've always been an independent too. You know, I always thought I was in the middle, and then I saw this stuff going on. And so I appreciate and understand you wanting to just zoom out and be completely independent. But I do see that they're really using that side of the equation right now. And I maybe it's because they're the people who follow that are easier to manipulate, because I think there tend to be a little bit more free thinkers on the other side, although there's a cult on the other side too that's pretty darn strong. If you even say anything, I remember I had some pretty negative comments on my video yesterday because I happened to criticize some of Trump's moves. And because I don't like the fact that they're downplaying the numbers with the virus, even though they haven't done any testing. I think that's in, it's just not appropriate to say, to do that. If you haven't tested, how can you act like there's no numbers? But anyway, so I got all these negative. So there is a cult on both sides, but it seems like they're using people, this culture, they're making crap up. Zero CO2 doesn't make sense because that's plant food. And planting trees, I can understand in cities having too much CO2 without enough plants are problems. And I mean, there are some science behind it, but looking at the big picture of CO2, it just means your plants are going to expand and match your CO2. It levels out. And I've had many scientists come and talk about this. You know, I've had scientists come and talk about the fact that Mars is heating up and every other planet in the solar system is heating up. So there has to be some kind of big solar science issue behind it. It just seems like they'll make up anything to get their goals across. And then people are zombies and are not able to critically think, and they just do what they're told. So what is the deal with people not pushing back at all and just simply doing what they're told?
Again, this has been a system that has been established incrementally over generations, and it's an indoctrination process. They have taken over the same people who have set up these programs within the United Nations, like the Rockefellers, who are using this climate crisis agenda as a means of global governance. That's what they're using it for. It's a front. These are the same people who have taken over the education systems here in the United States. These are the same people who have taken over the medical industry in the United States, the pharmaceutical industries in the United States. So this is a widespread global network that has indoctrinated people from birth, from cradle to the grave. And basically, they own, obviously, all of the media. We are the minority here. There's very few people out there who are willing to speak out against the system, to call, BS when they see it. And they're cracking down on us very hard. We've seen this coming. And it's becoming more and more blatant, just like we've seen in Event 201, the pandemic simulation of a coronavirus outbreak that took place just 6 weeks before the actual outbreak took place, United Nations, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the World Economic Forum, Johns Hopkins, the central banks, the vaccine manufacturers, the media, they were all there holding this exercise, which I know a lot of people have heard about, obviously, by now at this point. But, I mean, what are the chances? See, so this is what leads me to believe that this current crisis, which I'm not saying is completely fake or manufactured 100%, you know, there may be something actually obviously happening, making people ill and everything like that. But looking at all of the events leading up to this, that right there, the Event 201, then that same day that Event 201 was taking place, we see the Military World Games being held in Wuhan, China, which is the basically the Olympics for the military, where 110 different nations were there at ground zero just weeks before the actual outbreak took place. So there's all of these events that had preceded this. There was the CDC had posted a job opening for public relations person for their quarantine department, you know, back in November, before we even heard anything about the coronavirus. I mean, there's lots of different things that are some would call coincidences, some would call synchronicities. So we see this coming. The whole point that I was trying to get to was that in that Event 201 was they were talking about censorship. They were talking about how to control the narrative. They were talking about how conspiracy theorists and anti-vaxxers need to be shut down. They were openly talking about jailing those who spread misinformation, and even going as far as having limited internet shutdowns to be able to control the information because of how dangerous it was. So this is just escalating exponentially, in my view.
It's frustrating for me because I probably for you as well, and for those of us who have worked hard in our careers, been considered very good at what we do. And I have in engineering and science and things that I've done, and worked with some of the top people in the country or world, and you know that the people who are running these aren't the top people. And you know they lie to you. And you know they have other agendas. Forcing those who are some of the top people to be silent. That to me is really hard to watch happen, because it's so bad for humanity to watch the people who are less competent, who have agreed, have agendas and aren't honest, shutting down those who are very competent, who care about humanity and don't have agendas. Now, some of the people who are have their own sent. There are people spreading false information. There are people just trying to make a buck, but they're also shutting down the people who are the most competent people in the world, who don't have agendas and just care about humanity. And that to me is really hard to watch. When we are sitting in a time where people are going to die because of their agendas. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, unfortunately, I mean, I've been trying to, talk with people and wake people up, both on a personal level and, a professional level as well. And it's some people are open and have open minds and like to exercise critical thought outside of the box. And there's a lot of people that just want to remain in their bubbles. They are comfortable there. They just would rather have faith in that system, because if they lost faith in that system, then it would shake them out of their false sense of reality, in my view. Now, unfortunately, you're right. They are censoring, and this is a very critical time for independent media and the alternative media. And I think that the way I see it, we're adults, Sarah, you and I, and I'm sure most of in our audience, we should be able to discern and decide for ourselves what it seems credible, what to believe, go through. I mean, nobody really knows what's going on with this coronavirus at this point. Nobody knows how bad it is, to the extent, and we're all kind of just going off of bits and pieces of information. We're going off of what the news and the government's telling us. We're going off of our own research and what other independent people are putting out with their research, and we're trying to figure this out all together. I certainly don't want to live in a world where I am being forced to take only the state-sponsored narrative and not have access to an independent narrative, not being able to think for myself, not being able to say what I believe, or, you know, express my First Amendment, you know, exercise that First Amendment. So unless that's where this is really going, it's coming fast. And so I'm not trying to say again that this coronavirus is a total hoax or not real or anything like that. In fact, people should be prepared. And that's the one thing that the state and the governments don't really want. They don't want you to be independent from their system of control. They want you to be dependent on that system. They want you to be scared. They want you to be choking each other and beating each other over the heads for toilet paper or whatever, instead of, you know, hey, I can't really eat or drink toilet paper or whatever. You know, I mean, so just be prepared, be safe. You know, we don't know exactly how bad this is going to get, how bad it's going to be hyped and promoted. And I've always said from the beginning that I am more concerned with the response from the officials, from the government to this crisis, whether manufactured or not. And I'm more very concerned with people's response to this in general, the public, the mass, you know, mob mentality that we've been seeing can be very dangerous. And so have a plan. You know, I'm in an industry that could be very severely affected by this. And I don't know, to be honest with you, if I'll have a job for how much longer. So, you know, I'm trying to be conservative, trying to have a plan, trying to save some money, trying to, you know, do a few different certain things, just basic fundamental stuff that everyone can and I believe should really consider.
Well, isn't that the point of the First Amendment? The freedom of speech is to make sure the state doesn't end up controlling all the narrative, because if a group of bad guys end up running the state and they control the narrative, I mean, that's a dictatorship, but if they do that, then that's at the detriment of the people. And so that's why freedom of speech was always there, was so important, is to make sure these independent voices come through, because the bad guys who could be behind the state could be doing, and even it's not even because of that, as well as knowing they don't know everything either. They aren't the experts at everything. And so it's important that there's independent people out there. It's the same reason why large corporations don't do the innovation. They buy the innovation from the smaller companies that create things, and they buy them out because they know they're not innovative. They know they're not the best and the smartest and the brightest. And that's the same as a bureaucratic, huge, global, you know, monopoly. They aren't going to have the best, the brightest, and the greatest stuff there, yet they're going to control it like they do. And that is going to grind future development and humanity to a halt.
Yeah, I agree with you. These are extraordinary times that we're living in. And, you know, it doesn't have to all be doom and gloom. You know, this, I believe, with the coming transition into the new digitalized financial system, it's going to be, and it's going to be considered one of the great, the phrase is escaping me right now, but it's a industrial revolutions. This is going to be considered one of the greatest industrial revolutions. It's going to revolutionize and change the entire financial system globally. And when we, in history, when we look back, whenever we look at those type of industrial revolutions, we see the greatest transfers of wealth happen during those times. Now, of course, the financial elite and everything like that, yes, they are going to make a killing on this, pardon the pun if there is one there. But at the same time, they're not really concerned with money at this point. They print the money out of thin air. They control and create the monetary systems. They're more concerned with power. But I believe that there can be opportunities for people out there to benefit from this transition financially. And again, I'm not a financial expert, but this is what I believe. And, you know, people should look into that, consider that, because then you may have the possibility to get out of the rat race. We try to capitalize upon a system that's been screwing all of us for a long time. So
that's really great. And I also talk about that with technology. We are at the technology and this explosion of amazing technologies It's just, we don't want the bad guys using, because you can use the technology for good or bad. And there's so many amazing things. I'm interviewing scientists all the time, and it's so fun and amazing. We just need to fix our corrupt system so the bad guys, we can minimize the use of that technology by the bad guys and optimize the use of the technologies by the good guys. And, but there are so many opportunities. So I love the fact that you stayed optimistic on this. Where can people find your work? I highly recommend it.
Thank you so much, Sarah. And again, thank you for having me on. I have a YouTube channel. You just search my name, Spiro, S-P-I-R-O, and it'll pop up. You can find me on Twitter. You can find a lot of updates right there on Twitter. O-Rips, it's at O_Rips. They're on Twitter, which is just Spiro backwards. And then BitChute is a great alternative to YouTube. They do not censor people like YouTube does. I honestly am surprised that my YouTube channel is still up right now, just due to the fact that I have decided not to hold any punches, like yourself here. Like there's a lot of channels out there who will not even say coronavirus. They'll say a different word in place of it because they're scared of having their channels taken down. And I'm not trying to criticize those people for that, but that reflects more upon, I think, the state that we're in and the overt censorship that we are seeing right now.
Considering that all the mainstream media channels are openly saying it, why can't say it? But keep going.
And then, of course, you can always find my work at activistpost.com. I am a contributor over there as well. There's many other contributors over there. They do a lot of great work, independent news source there. So that's pretty much it. Those are the main places you can find me. But if you can't find me on YouTube, excuse me, BitChute. Go to BitChute, and that's BitChute. And it's basically an alternative to YouTube.
Well, I love what you do. You're an independent researcher. You give the facts. You just lay it out there. Let everybody else make their mind up. You're just independently trying to figure things out and get to the truth. I love that. So thank you so much for everything you do. Keep doing what you're doing and just stay safe. And I'm encouraging everybody to watch and support you. So thank you so much.
Sarah, it was great to be on. I look forward to speaking with you again very soon.
Absolutely.